The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 6th day of March 2023. And indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance, and tonight, our producer is the outrageous one, outrageous, courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. And were you ready for that? I mean, you weren't ready for the outrageous part, were you?
A little bit.
Okay, there you go. Well, he's always ready, standing by out there. The sentry, the fellow that's been around, renowned for a very long, long time, out there in Missouri, none other than, well, what can we say? The Parson Joe Larson.
The only one stubborn as a Missouri mule that could put up with you all these years.
Speaking of putting up with me, if Mother Nature was a woman, her name would be Wendy, the all-natural woman. And guess what? She thinks it's Wednesday night. But we have her here tonight on a Monday.
Well, don't tell her otherwise. We just enjoy having her on.
Hey, Wendy.
Hey.
Okay. We've got you. You ready to roll tonight?
Yes, I am.
Yep. Wendy, I notice you never refute any of the things he says about you.
Well, kind of hard to. I mean, Pastor
when they're
Sanders.
All true, right?
Pastor Sanders is inspired.
That's right. Besides that, you see, she spends all day sitting around being smart and pretty, and you and I sit around acting like old men, Joe.
Maybe never mind.
Alrighty.
Maybe
listen.
Because, yeah, okay.
Alrighty. Listen, we're going to get into our message tonight. And it's a powerful message. At least that's what all the folks in the church told me. And so, the title of the message is, do you know what it is, Joe?
Yeah. Our God, our victory, their God, their defeat.
That's absolutely right. So, I'm going to go into some commentary because lately, if you guys may have noticed, there seems to be a lot of angst out there. People are totally, totally uncertain about the way things are going in the country. It's nothing like it used to be. Up is down, and yesterday is tomorrow, and everything is backwards and inside out. And nothing makes a whole lot of sense, especially the woke. But, I have that peace that passes all understanding because let me just take it away. Here's what the commentary says. It says, it can't get much worse, can it, Pastor? I hear that all the time. The question refers to seemingly total degeneration of our society. Knowing full well the absolute perfect accuracy of biblical prophecy that things would morally, spiritually, physically deteriorate, yet knowing this, yet we still weren't really prepared or expected to see things move so rapidly. I wasn't. Were you? Were you folks, Wendy and Joe?
I was caught by surprise. I mean, you and I had been giving a step-by-step, blow-by-blow for many, many, many years. And the past couple of years, I think both of us were surprised and overwhelmed by the speed that we've gone downhill.
You, Wendy?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I often think if my grandparents were still alive who raised, you know, family during World War II, they wouldn't recognize this country at all.
No, they wouldn't. If George Washington was here today, I think he would go into the White House and drag Biden out and beat him to a pulp. Anyhow, let me go on with my commentary. The biblically literate of my generation, growing up back in the 1950s, knew that the evil day, or the time of sorrows as the Bible speaks of, in the scriptures would someday come. But never, no, we never imagined that it would occur so rapidly. Had we been warned of such a future, we would have thought of it as a nightmare. We could never imagine that we would live to see the day America would become as the great whore in Babylon. We never would have believed that we would see the day when the abominable, would become the norm. The sins of abortion, euthanasia, LGBTQ, which is sodomites, transgender, trans species, pedophilia, drag queens, whores of every kind, religious whores, political whores, corporate whores, military whores, judicial whores, hot wife whores, media whores, of every kind. I mean, it's all turned that way. Once when Ronald Reagan was asked about American policy with the Cold War with Russia, he said, here's our policy, we win, they lose. Now, even though, to a great degree, he was right, he still couldn't say that with complete certainty. Things could have gone the other direction. We had the Cuban Missile Crisis. Things could have gone way wrong. But we as Christians can say that with complete certainty that when we comes to the war with Satan and the woke progressives, we can say it's settled in heaven. We have already won. And all you have to do, the other side's already lost, and all we have to do is let it all play out. That's the reality. And so we're going to start tonight in Isaiah chapter 45 and verses 18 through 25. And Joe, go ahead and read that. And Wendy, if you have any commentary, just jump in.
Okay, read all the way through without stopping, right?
Yeah.
You said 25?
Yeah, Isaiah 45, verses 18 through 25.
For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save them. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth, in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say in the Lord, I have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory.
All righty, going back to verse 18. For thus saith the Lord God, who created the heavens, God that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it, not in vain he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, the Hebrew word, Joe, is tohu, for vain. The word there in vain. And that in the Hebrew means without form, that God created it without form. When he said, not in vain. So there, this is one of the verses that they take, those that who believe the old earth theory, the gap theory, they use that to try to say, to prove their theory, but it's totally taken out of context. There's no way you can do that. Here it says, now he made it to be inhabited. So it took God 6 days to prepare it for man, in order to set a pattern for man's work.
In other words, he had purpose for everything he did from the first day on, right?
Absolutely.
Everything was done with a purpose in mind to make a place for mankind.
Everything is logical, and with God. Everything they use, even all of the things that appear in supernatural, and all of what God has says, as we go through this, you'll see that here what the world thinks is foolishness, okay? God is the reality. He did it, and he didn't do anything in vain. He goes on, and he says, assemble yourselves, come and draw near, that you are escaped to the nations, that you have no knowledge, that set up the wood of graven image, and pray unto God that cannot save. So now how does the world today, what are the graven images of the world out there today? What are the gods that they worship?
Well, anything that takes you away from God. Yeah, anything that takes you away from God.
Give me some examples. In Romans, he talks about worshiping the creator, or the creation, not the creator. Creation being man, okay? What kind of men do people worship?
Okay, so the movie stars, sports stars, gaming, anything that, you put first before God.
Absolutely.
Celebrity worship syndrome. And they said about half the Western civilization spends their time, talent, and treasure in the worship of celebrity.
And so here, now God makes another statement. He makes it very clear. Tell ye and bring them near ye. Let them take counsel together who hath declared this from the ancient time, who hath told it from the time. Have not I, the Lord, and there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Now, who is it that's talking here? Okay, I mean, Isaiah is the prophet, but who is speaking to Isaiah here?
Well, God is.
Okay, well, we have a Trinity. Father, right. Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Right, part of the Trinity.
And so...
I would have to say the Word is talking to him.
That's right. You would be right. It's the Lord Jesus himself is speaking here, and he's doing it on orders from the Father, isn't he?
Right.
Right. See it there in verse 21 at the end, a just God and Savior, there is none beside me. So the Father is spirit, the Son is the physical manifestation of the spiritual Father, and he is the Word.
Okay, so read the next verse.
Okay. I've got my page. Look unto me, and be ye saved. He's the Savior, Christ. All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. He is the Savior, the Messiah.
Now,
in fact, Jesus' name, Yahshua, is Jehovah saves. In other words, you know, he is the Savior. God saves.
Now, is this an absolutism here?
Absolute. Probably the greatest in the universe.
Okay, so now, is there any greater authority in existence today than this King James Bible right here in front of me?
None.
Okay. Wendy, what do you think?
Well, no, I mean, this is a living word. It's never going to go away. It's the perfect word. It's God's authority. He spoke it. It's done deal. So, yeah, I mean, you can live by that.
Okay, now, the opposition has been attacking this. There's well over 200 perversions of the Bible today. And the more perversions they bring out, what happens with the King James Bible?
Well, you mean when they alter it, what happens to it?
No, what is happening is that the more they attack it, the more people start reading it. And it's gaining as far as percentage. Well, I'm not saying more people are reading the Bible than ever. What I'm saying is more people now are reading the King James Bible. They continue to go back to the King James Bible from the New Age perversions. And so he goes on to say, I have sworn by myself. Why did he swear by himself?
He's the highest authority.
Yep. All right. There was, you always swear by someone greater than yourself, don't you?
Hmm.
Okay. So he goes on to say that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Okay, what does he mean there? Ooh, boy, we're not supposed to swear, are we?
Well, they're going to swear. The other part in the New Testament, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
That's what the word there in the Hebrew means, to confess.
Yeah, okay. Confess.
Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are increased or incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. So now let me ask you this. Israel was considered what kind of people?
God's chosen.
So there are two groups of chosen people. One is Israel. What's the other?
The Christian, the church.
The church, okay. So Israel is the wife of God. Who is the church?
She's the bride.
The bride of Christ.
That's what it says. She's the bride of Christ.
Okay, so the bride will not go through the tribulation period, but the wife will. Why is that?
Because
the wife
rejected.
Yeah.
Because the wife committed whoredom. That's what the Bible says, committed whoredom. And she has not yet repented, has she?
No.
But she'll repent during what? The tribulation, won't she?
Yep.
Well, okay. Kind of after the return, let's put it this way, she repents after Christ's return.
Well, yeah, when he returns, that's at the end of the tribulation period. And we find that if we go over to Zephaniah, huh? It's in the verses, what, 14? He tells you, let me jump over there real quick, maybe. Chapter, the last part of 13 and the first part of 14.
Zephaniah's only got three chapters.
Oh, I meant Zechariah.
Zechariah is okay. I was thinking.
Well, can't you hear?
Sorry about that, boss.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
Senior moment.
Yeah. Why don't you just read Zechariah, verse 8. Verse 8, all the way through verse 5 of 14. Zechariah 13, verse 8. And then go ahead. And, well, then stop it. Stop at 14, verse 1.
Got it. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God.
Okay, so one third of professing Israel, which is Israel. Now this is they're the seed of Abraham, but they're not the sons of Abraham. Okay? So one third of them will repent, and they'll call upon the name of who?
The Lord.
The Lord Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so here now, read verses 1 through 5 of 14.
Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach into Azael. Yea, ye shall flee, like ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him.
Now that earthquake was mentioned in Amos chapter 1, verse 1, and it was a huge earthquake. Now that happened 300 years prior to this, and to be remembered 300 years later, you know it had to be a huge earthquake. And
hey,
so,
Pastor.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
So the Mount of Olives cleaves in two. I guess that's where they crucified the Lord, right?
Uh huh.
Is that a cross from the Eastern Gate?
Yeah, I believe it is. I was on the Mount of Olives there. Okay. It goes
that's
almost.
The
pardon?
That's the gate Jesus comes through because they sealed it, right?
Yeah. Well, when he returns back to the earth, his feet will be in the very same place they were when he left. And there's a lot of speculation of where he was standing on the Mount of Olives where he left. They got little plaques and little things. He was here, he was there. But now the Mount of Olives goes almost straight up. And he's going to be divided part to the north and part to the south. What do we see here, okay? We saw something before. Remember when he took his people out of Egypt, what did he do? He divided the sea to the north and to the south, okay? And now, and his people did what? They went through unto dry land. So here, he's going to divide the mountain, and Israel's going to pass right through it, okay? And then the armies of the world are going to show up to make war. Now, we're not talking about like in Egypt where you had chariots and horsemen. Now, these are the armies of the world. Remember when John McTurnan and I had our battle with the War College and with the Pentagon, and because with Admiral Mullins, because they had said that Christians should not be in the military. Christians should not be in the military because, and they quoted this, that they're going to be fighting on the side of Christ and not on the side of the armies.
They said that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
That our allegiance was to Christ and not to the world government. And so
yeah.
And so that was our big battle with them there. And so here now, we're going to see the same thing happening. So when the armies of the world show up, now we're talking Black Hawk helicopters, we're talking all of the modern technology they have, their bombers and things, they're going to run smack and dab into the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Now, who's going to have the best technology?
Well, the Lord is.
That's right. Now, you see, we're going to be there. We're going to be there, okay? We're not there as spectators. We have come there to fight against the armies of the world. And if you go to Revelation chapter 19 and you start in verse 11, you see that the Lord Jesus is leaving heaven with us, with all the saints. You've got four categories of saints there. You've got the angels, you've got the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints, and the tribulation saints, all heading back to earth. And we show up, and when the armies of the world come, now we're going to have glorified bodies. And what that means is they can't die. You can't kill a glorified body.
No.
Okay. And so when you go to war, see, the object is this, to kill more of the enemy than they kill of you. Now, if...
Patton said, what was it, make some other SOB die, instead of dying for your country, you make somebody else die for yours.
For theirs, yeah. And so...
Yeah, for their country.
Right. And so, that's what we're going to be there to do. The Lord is going to... The sword of his mouth is this. He says, that's the command... To get them, okay? And so there's going to be a very exciting time. But, Joe, you and I, we're used to this kind of stuff. It's going to be something brand new for Wendy.
You stay for a lot of the gals. It might be very new.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we're going to get instructions before we head out.
Yep. That's guaranteed. I'm going to stop there.
Do you speculate that... the third that, run, to Petra, you suppose they're getting a ride somewhere? How are they going to get to Petra? That's a long walk.
The Lord will take care of that. I'm sure that they'll be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And so, anyhow.
How they walk through the bottom of the sea on dry land, we still to this day will never know, but they will get there.
We're going to hear from a fellow.
What chapter was the earthquake there in the day?
Amos 1:1.
What?
Amos 1:1.
Amos. Okay. I couldn't. Yeah. 1:1. Thank you.
If you go to, who we're going to listen to? Do you remember there was a fellow on Fox News? He was a doctor, and he was there, and he was talking about, he'd been on there about, I'm pro-vaccination. I'm very pro. And he was encouraging people to take the shot, but not necessarily children, I don't think. But anyhow, he was basically, on Fox News because they were promoting the vaccine. And like all of these people, these doctors on there, they had that lady doctor, very pretty woman on there too. Same thing. But all of a sudden now they're walking their back. You see, now they're saying what we've been saying, Wendy. Now they're saying... So let us hear from Dr. Martin McCary.
Greatest perpetrator of misinformation during the pandemic has been the United States government. Misinformation that COVID was spread through surface transmission, that vaccinated immunity was far greater than natural immunity, that masks were effective. Now we have the definitive Cochrane review. What do you do with that review? Cochrane is the most authoritative evidence body in all of medicine and has been for decades. Do you just ignore it, not talk about it? That myocarditis was more common after the infection than the vaccine. Not true. It's 4 to 28 times more common after the vaccine. That young people benefit from a booster. Misinformation. Our two top experts on vaccines quit the FDA in protest over this particular issue, pushing boosters in young, healthy people. The data was never there. That's why the CDC never disclosed hospitalization rates among boosted Americans under age 50. The vaccine mandates would increase vaccination rates. The George Mason University study shows it didn't. It did one thing. It created never vaxxers who are now not getting the childhood vaccines they need to get. Over and over again, we've seen something that goes far beyond using your best judgment with the information at hand. We've seen something which is unforgivable, and that is the weaponization of medical research itself. The CDC putting out their own shoddy studies, like their own study on natural immunity, looking at one state for 2 months, when they had data for years on all 50 states. Why did they only report that one sliver of data? Why did they salami slice the giant database? Because it gave them the result they wanted. Same with masking study. Well, the data has now caught up in giant systematic reviews, and the public health officials were intellectually dishonest. They lied to the American people. Thank you.
Here, you know, one by one, these doctors and all of these that they've had on Fox News, one by one, they're walking it back. I'm watching them walking it back to what we told them from the very beginning. Okay, Wendy, do you remember before one single person had taken that shot, you were on here talking about a new vaccine and what they were making there, and how that they were testing it on lab animals, and all of the lab animals died, and now they want to start giving it to people. And see, if I saw them testing a vaccine on lab animals and they were dying, I wouldn't take the vaccine.
And well, this isn't anything new, Pastor. If you'll recall, the swine flu pandemic was a fake pandemic back in 76. And they created the swine flu vaccine for pig farmers. And when the pigs were dying after they got the vaccine, the pig farmers didn't want it. So in order to recoup their losses, the only other market would be humans. So they had to create a reason to give it to you. And Dr. Anthony Norris on the Phil Donahue Show, live TV, blew the whistle and said he was the chief virologist of the FDA. He goes, there's no pandemic. And this vaccine will give you Guillain-Barré. Please don't take it. And that was the last year that you could actually sue for damages, the vaccine company, for injury. After that, they got immunity. But so again, the animals died, and they still wanted to sell it to humans. So, I mean, this is nothing new. They have a pattern of abuse here.
And we're going to keep blowing the whistle as long and loud as we can. But right now, I've got to tell you about tomorrow night. Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow night at the Metzenbaum Center at 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland? That's the Metzenbaum Center, 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland. We're going to get the real facts of and the real truth about the hoax and the scam of the climate scammers out there, folks. This whole climate change things has got as much credibility as evolution. Carbon dioxide is not the climate culprit, you have been told. Dr. Stephen Stolt is going to be there, PhD, organic chemistry. Sam Horowitz, international climate investigator. And Jim McNeil, chemist specializing in gases and environmental analysis. And I hear about that all the time because Jim is a member of Doers of the Word Baptist Church, and we often have lunch. And so I'm learning a lot about this climate here. Carbon dioxide is not the climate culprit, you have been told. How many so-called experts are telling you that we need to stop carbon emissions? At this point, we have about 240 ppm of CO2 in the atmosphere. In the past times, we have had as much as 1,000 ppm of CO2. Plants eat CO2 up, and they need it. Why do we want to starve our plants? There are so many lies being spread about climate change. Come and listen to Jim McNeil, chemist specializing in gases, Dr. Stolt, organic Christian chemistry, PhD, and Sam Horowitz, international climate investigators, as they share insight on the reality of climate change and the carbon dioxide. We need to confront the nonsense coming out of NOAACA. NOAACA is the Ohio version of Agenda 2030, which they're shadowy figures that work in the darkness, and they're lobby, they're bureaucrats. They don't hold real jobs. They suck the blood out of the taxpayers. And they want to push a Marxist globalist action plan on us in Ohio. We have told them over and over we want nothing to do with them. And so, folks, again, that's going to be tomorrow night at 6:30 to 8:30, and that's at 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland, Ohio. Now, it's just about a quarter mile west of Route 306 on Cedar Road. And you'll find Cedar Road, if you're going south on Route 306, it's about 2 miles south of Route 322 and about 4 miles north of Route 87 on right across Route 306. That's, again, 8200 Cedar Road, and that's at 6:30 tomorrow night. And, folks, get educated. Remember, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So, Miss Wendy, speaking of knowledge, you know, when I get my new operation, I'm going to leave my old shoulder to Pastor Joe. But if I was to go to Suna, I think I'd leave my brain to you. What would you do with it?
Well, I know science typically pickles them, you know, in a jar. You know, so like Einstein's brain, right?
Save it for posterity, right?
Yeah. But that's interesting you bring up brains, Pastor. There's some new research that was quite interesting that I came across, and a lot of scientists are real concerned about this new development. It involves artificial intelligence, you know, the AI. Concerns on AI typically have been ranging from, oh, we're worried about job losses and socioeconomic inequality, but this new research kind of blows those concerns right out of the water. So right now, you know, people are worried about AI, you know, with privacy violations, algorithmic bias, marketing validity, weapon automation, all these things. But Harvard Business actually did publish a report on the future where AI is going, and more industries are embracing this because they're saying it's more efficient and it saves money. Here's a quote from their report. With virtually no U.S. government oversight, private companies use artificial intelligence software to make determinations about health, medicine, employment, creditworthiness, even criminal justice without having to answer for how they're ensuring that those programs aren't encoded. Curiosity of unconsciously structural bias. So he says worldwide businesses are spending, they spent $50 billion last year, and they're going to spend $110 billion by 2024 on this stuff. So they're predicting your artificial intelligence is going to be taking bigger and bigger roles, and they're saying it's going to disrupt and change entire businesses. So that's about, you know, people and their jobs, of course. And do you think artificial intelligence is going to replace a lot of people, Pastor?
I think our artificial. If I was the enemy, if I was the devil. Mm-hmm. I would have a field day with artificial intelligence, and already they have, it's gotten out of control. They're already talking about situations where they've had to shut computers down because they were communicating with each other. And
yeah, well, basically what we're being told is, artificial intelligence is, you know, not going to be taking everybody's jobs. It's just going to be a hybrid job situation where they're going to do tasks that will free up the employees to do other things. But eventually, artificial intelligence will become even more efficient than the humans and less expensive to maintain. So there's no overtime to pay when you got a robot, an AI robot. You don't have to pay for medical insurance or unemployment tax or sick days or vacation days or even a salary. So what do you think is going to happen? Right?
Well, I would think, too.
They're already getting these trucks that can drive themselves, you know, self-driving trucks. It's going to replace a lot of jobs. We have, in fact, there were, who was it? Obama was complaining that all these truck drivers, some of them had bachelor's and master's degrees, were running around driving truck. Why? It was a business that you could work as much as you want. You could be your own boss. You could be self-employed. And he didn't like that, so he was complaining. And now we're not going to really need many truck drivers. So that's just one of many jobs. Now they're going to be, what, these fast food places are going
right.
to robots to cook and serve and take the money, everything.
Well, Joseph Buller, he's a professor of management practices at Harvard. He said, quote, virtually every big company now has multiple artificial intelligence systems and counts the deployment of the AI is an integral part of their strategy. They say, he says, the implementation of artificial intelligence includes machine learning, robotics, sensors, industrial automation, you know, and this is, he says, worldwide. He says the data set information that's used by artificial intelligence is very sophisticated and huge. So you have to have quantum computer type of data sets. But let me get to this study that's really why I brought this up. Looking at this research out of Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland, they're conducting a research. It got published in the journal, February 2023 Journal of Frontiers. It's new intelligence, they say, that they're beginning to create called biocomputing. So how does and what they're using is a brain machine technology, okay? So the new angle on your artificial intelligence is it's going to make the hair on the back of your neck stand up. For instance, science is looking at the ultimate intelligence, and they're calling it organoid intelligence, or OI. We've been hearing a lot about this lately, and it's the merging of human brain cells with the technology, okay?
With the machine.
Yeah, so how does organoid intelligence work is the question people have. So what they're using is 3D cultures of human brain cells, or brain organoids is what they call them, and they use it as a brain-machine interface. And the new brain cells resemble human brain structures and functions and provide cognitive function to the artificial intelligence. So learning and memory are all enhanced and very complex. So at first, the brain organoids would serve as a biological hardware, but one day they think it'll have more of a human-like characteristic to it. So, you know, when I read stuff like this, Pastor, and Pastor Larson, I think of Gene Wilder as Dr. Frederick Frankenstein saying, "It's alive," you know?
Yeah.
They're trying to create something. Anyway, and it's a wonder, and this is why they're doing it. You're probably asking, why in the world would they do this stuff? Well, according to the research, this new area called live science, Silicon Valley, their motherboard chips have their limits, whereas the human brain is said to be able to store more than 2,500 petabytes. Therefore, science is drooling over the human brain's 100 billion neurons and more than 1,000 connection points, offering much more power compared to the current technology we have. So these 3D cell structures that science is creating is going to connect your artificial intelligence and expand its learning system. It's going to be very vast. So I tell people, think bigger. Don't think, you know, it's just a robot that's going to take your money at the drive-thru. No. Think bigger. Think, you know, politicians, medical doctors, engineers, astronauts, pilots. Okay, now, I have a question for you, Pastor. This Antichrist guy, right, that's supposed to come on the scene. And you know how the devil likes to kind of mimic what God does, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so what if it's a robot, artificial intelligence with human brain tissue that Satan, you know, puts the Antichrist in? He just takes over this thing.
So they set up a statue in the temple, and the false prophet brings it to life. And it's the Antichrist, and he's got a human brain, but he's a statue. So what do you think?
I don't know. It's creepy.
For years, science has said they were trying to make a living computer because a biological computer could outdo anything that they can make and would have, like you said, more capacity, storage, and everything else. So this is something they have been working at for years, and a living machine, a living computer. And we know that that's why they were doing all these tests with putting human brain cells in the mice, doing different work like that, trying to see how things would work, what it would do to the mouse's intelligence or mouse brain. I mean, they've been working for many, many years with this goal in mind, Wendy. In fact,
I
want to read this Klaus Schwab, remember, the World Economic Forum? He's got an article. He was talking about who will be the master of the world, and he said he's talking about tech, how it's changing lives. You know, he said our life in 10 years from now will be completely different, and who masters those technologies will be the master of the world.
Well, Pastor, I've heard that with numerology stuff that they say the word computer or internet, if you boil them down into numbers, is the number 666. So if you've got an artificial intelligence with humanoid, you know, brain cells, well, that would be his number, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Klaus Schwab has said that he had plans on, through this technology, what you're talking about, that he plans to live forever. That his brain will be, all of his intelligence, all of his knowledge is going to be put into, given into like a robot or one of these, and he will be...
Well, that's interesting. That's kind of like, you know, gosh... That's interesting.
His brain
he said
would
that.
Run the supercomputer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know he said that. Let me read you this last quote. This is by Lena Sermonoff, a researcher at Johns Hopkins University. Now, you know, they're saying, oh, well, we're considering ethics and all that stuff. You know what? Ethics is what you do before you jump into the science and do it. So they're conducting all this, and they haven't set up any ethics stuff. She goes, quote, we have functional brain organoids already, and since we have an electrophysiological active system, which has synchronous electrical activity and is responsive to chemical and electrical stimuli, our next step is we are working on to characterize and optimize the system further to demonstrate key molecule and cellular aspects of learning, in particular, organoid intelligence, developing a model of long-term learning, end of quote. Yeah. Yeah, so much to their horror, they're going to find out what their research is going to, what road they're going to go down.
Well, you're absolutely right, Wendy. I mean, you couldn't be more right. Alrighty, we have a... How much time do we have before? Do I have time, Craig? Okay, that's not enough time to put the FBI agent on, is it? No, we're a little bit too short. All righty, we're going to...
Well, let's back up then if we've got to come in a minute or two. We know that this new story out, Fauci commissioned the 2020 study. He edited the study that he came back while he was working for President Trump that debunked the Wuhan lab leak theory and said it was a natural. So here he sat and lied to the president. He ordered the study. He, you know, changed it to fit how he wanted it worded, and he used that as proof that the virus didn't leak from the Wuhan lab. So they now have proof that this guy is a total liar, a deceiver. He lied to Congress. He lied to the President of the United States. He lied to all the people. He's the one who originally funded, he and that other guy, funded the gain-of-function research through a private company that went to China, to the Wuhan lab, to do the research. And in a way, he's responsible for the murder of millions of human beings. This man achieved more evil, more death than Adolf Hitler, and yet you look at the news, and a lot of it's crickets. They're not talking about this man being bad or evil or anything. But the truth, they're sure trying to...
Well, they're not going to, Joe, because, look,
in history.
The agenda of NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, NPR, their agenda is the same as Fauci's. They're a part of it. Remember, there's virtually six companies that run all of the national media, okay?
Right.
And the idea that these are all what you call woke or globalist corporations that are a part of the depopulation movement. And so, again, all you have is these secular stations, you know, that whatever lie George Soros tells these people to do, okay, they will tell that lie. Remember, you always see the echo chamber open up. You'll always see them all repeating word for word the very same lie. Turn the stations, and they're all on there, the talking heads, right, telling the same lie.
Here is the bad part. You know, the Bible talks about the God of this world has blinded their eyes so they can't see the truth, the glorious light of the gospel. These people have mothers and fathers. They have lovers. They have husbands or wife or partners. They have children, grandchildren. And they contributed to the death of people they love. And I think most of them don't. This was one of those things that they have been controlled by Satan to the point where what you do is helping bring death to those you love. This has got to be one of the strangest times in history of the world, Pastor Ernie, and yet no one seems to be bringing it up.
Look, we are.
The wickedness, the evil. We are. But you don't hear anybody saying, this is wickedness, this is evil. People allowing the death of those they love, their own family, their own flesh and blood, and nobody seems to mention it to these stupid liberals that keep parroting the narrative.
Well, actually, there's a lot more of us mentioning that than you think. And again, you have to understand, this is the days we're living in. It's the day that the Bible calls the evil day, or the day of sorrow.
Right.
So the world, remember, okay, God keeps a remnant. We are going to be a minority in this world. We are a minority in this world, but we're holding back, okay? We're holding back the Antichrist world system until, as long as we're here, once the Lord takes us out of here, then it really becomes, hell on earth. All of those people in the media, every now and then you'll hear a couple of them say, I just can't take it anymore, and their conscience won't let them, and they'll jump out. And, of course, all of the fake media will turn against them when they do that. But this is where you have the whistleblowers. Speaking of whistleblowers, when we come back, we're going to hear from a former FBI agent. And boy, he's going to drop a real bomb on the corrupt FBI. And they're hitting on hard times right now. 16 new whistleblowers just came out. So hang tight. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.